The following audio is from Foundation Life Bible Church. More information about Foundation Life is available at www.foundationlbc.com.
Good morning. How was dinner for six? Was it good? I feel like you met people a little more. Certainly prayed that we would have fellowship with one another and get to know each other a little more. I'm going to open us up in prayer because we have a lot to do this morning. So let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Spirit of the living God, we ask you right now, God, to work in our hearts. We pray, Lord, that we receive the words of Jesus, the words that Jesus has for us today, Lord, because they are not easy and they go against our flesh, God. So, Father, I pray today that the truth of this word, the truth of these pearls, God, would set us free. And God, I ask you and you alone to lead us, you alone to teach us, you alone, Lord, to speak to each one of our hearts. May we receive what you have for us with thanksgiving and a receptive heart. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so 2 points of emphasis. If you're taking notes, you'll also see that behind me on the board. Thank you, Aaron, for writing that so beautifully, so it didn't look like my first grade handwriting. But our 2 points of emphasis are, I don't sin because of what is outside of me, I sin because of what is inside of me. I don't sin because of what is outside of me. I sin because of what is inside of me. And I don't normally do this, but I got corny with my point. Okay? And it rhymes. But I think it works here. And here's what it is. I sin because of what's within. I sin because of what's within. Okay, so those will be up there the whole time as we dig in today. So if you would like, your parallel passage is found in Matthew chapter 15. This is the only parallel passage to Mark chapter 7. Okay, and last week was 1 through 8, and I believe this week starts in verse 9. But before we look at the truth of today's scripture, let's go back and revisit verses 1 through 13 for context in the Gospel of Mark. We learn that the Pharisees and scribes are back on the scene, and immediately they have come to Jesus. They've come to him with questions. They've come to him with accusations. And they're pointing out to him one thing, that his disciples are not participating in the man-made traditions, and their man-made traditions, and in this case, of ceremonial washing. And last week we looked at how Jesus responded. He doesn't hold any punches. He lets them have it. He lets them have it with his words. And in his words, he reveals their hypocrisy. He reveals the evil when it came to the practice of Corban. And remember, Corban, to sum it up, was a loophole that taught the people they did not have to care for their aging parents. And of course, this was in total opposition against God's command to honor their parents. So Jesus continues his strong words, speaking and prophesying what's in Isaiah chapter 29, verse 13. And here's what he writes, here's what he says. This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. So in a nutshell, this is the meaning behind Jesus' words. Your hands have been washed 2 times over. But your heart It's filthy. And it's wicked. And as a result, as we read Isaiah's words last week, we camped on our only point of emphasis. And it was, and we all have to understand this, God is looking at my heart. It's true for everyone. God is looking at my heart. And whatever outward act that I'm doing, God is looking at the heart behind the action. Where is my heart in the action? So with that in mind, let's move into the words of Jesus today in Mark chapter 7, verses 14 through 23. And I had to call in a substitute Bible because I have no idea what I did with mine. I tried to find it this morning. So this is a replacement, and it's small. So bear with me. Okay? So here's what we have. Verse 14 to 23. And he called the people to him again and said to them, "Hear me, all of you, and understand. There is nothing outside of a person that by going into him can defile him. But things that come out of a person are what defile him." Verse 17. And when he had entered the house and left the people, his disciples asked him about the parable. And he said to them, "Then are you also without understanding? Do you not see that whatever goes into a person from the outside cannot defile him? Since it enters not his heart, but his stomach, and is expelled. Thus he declared all foods clean. And he said, what comes out of a person is what defiles him. For from within, out of the heart of man, come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, coveting, wickedness, deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within, and they defile a person." So let's read 14 and 15 one more time here, because that's where we're going to start. And he called the people to him again and said to them, "Hear me, all of you, and understand. There is nothing outside a person that by going into him can defile him, but the things that come out of a person are what defile him." So last week, Jesus' words were primarily for the religious leaders. But in verses 14 and 15 here, he switches gears. And what he says now is for the masses of people. It's for the crowd. And Jesus' approach must have looked something like this. "I want everyone to look into my eyes. I want everyone to listen carefully. Because what I'm about to say to you is of the utmost importance." He's calling for their undivided attention. And the best way that I can think about this, and probably the best way you can think about this, whether you're still a child in this room or you're an adult, remember when your parents would say Samuel Jeffries Pierce front and center, right? We knew that they meant business, and we knew it was time for the rubber to meet the road, okay? So this is where Jesus is at. And with every eye glued to him and every ear tuned into him, he rocks their world. And we have to understand what he says rocks their world. So let's read his words in verse 14 once more. "There is nothing outside a person that by going into him can defile him. But the things that come out of a person are what defile him." It's hard for us to grasp how shocking these words to the people are. His words were offensive, and they were unfathomable. And in this message, Jesus also said things in what he didn't say. And here's what I mean by that. As we mentioned last week, we mentioned just a moment ago, his words, his sobering words, were directed toward the leaders, toward the shepherds of Israel. And in his words, what did he do? He revealed their hearts. And by doing that, his words deliver this message. Even though he never says it, here's the message it delivers. Everything these so-called shepherds have taught you is wrong. That's why it's offensive. And that's why it's unfathomable. Now step with me in the moment here. Let's step in the shoes of the religious leaders. I'm a religious leader. You're a religious leader. They must have been thinking to themselves, who does this Jesus think that he is? Probably, who does this Jesus of Nazareth think that he is? Right? What were they thinking? The audacity of this man. The audacity to say this to us. And in Matthew 15:12, if you read your parallel passage this week, it's confirmed by what the disciples say to Jesus. And here's what they say. Do you know that the Pharisees were offended when they heard this saying? And of course, Jesus could say, yeah, guys, I did. He didn't, but that's what he could have said, right? Okay. So here's what we have to understand. The washings, the traditions, the festivals, the sacrifices were all they knew. And they were good. See, they believed what made them unclean and defiled before God was on the outside of them. But what did Jesus just say? It's on the inside of them. As far as the inner man, they believed for the most part that they were what? They were good. They were good. Okay? So why did the Jews hold to these traditions? Why did they hold to these man-made laws and their interpretations? Why were they in such high regard? And the truth is, in fact, they still do today. And we need to pray for them. We need to pray that they see that Jesus is the Messiah. We should be praying that on a regular basis, that their eyes should be opened. But they cling to their interpretation of the law, Lord of the Ring style. My precious, okay? We have to understand that. My precious was their interpretation of the law, all right? So in their minds, their purpose of not working on the Sabbath, staying away from sinners and tax collectors, not touching anyone declared unclean or anything unclean by the law, avoiding the Gentiles, as we read last week, and countless other things, was about one thing: their righteousness and acceptance before God. And here's what they missed. They missed God's purpose in circumcision. They missed his purpose in washing themselves before entering the tent of meeting. They missed his purpose in the Sabbath and in the festivals and in the feasts and in the sacrifices and in every other outward sign, which were all good. But see, God intended them to see his holiness. God intended for them to see their sin, that he was pure and they were impure, that he was the only one worthy of worship and adoration, and they were not. God desired for his chosen people to have the right view of him and the right view of themselves. But they missed it. And for as long as the Jews have been set apart, this has been the story. This has been the story. So if we want to get a better snapshot of this perspective, I encourage you in your quiet time this week, I encourage you in your time in the scriptures to read Paul's words in Philippians chapter 3, verses 1 through 8. Particularly read verses 3 through 6, and you get to see the mindset of the Pharisee and the scribe. I encourage you to read that. All right, so let's move on to verse 17 and 19, because I think we've set it up. And here's what he says in verse 17 and 19.
And when he had entered the house and left the people, his disciples asked him about the parable. And he said to them, "Then are you also without understanding? Do you not see that whatever goes into a person from the outside cannot defile him? Since it enters not his heart, but his stomach, and is expelled. Thus he declared all foods clean." And he said, "What comes out of a person is what defiles him." So we need to make no mistake about the truth. Jesus' words are difficult for the disciples to grab a hold of as well. Matthew makes clear that when these men are coming, where they're coming from, and Jesus' response in chapter 15, verse 16, "Are you still without understanding?" And what's the truth? Yes, they were. And so Jesus, as he loved to do, now not so much this kind of description, but Jesus, like he loved to do, gave them an example from everyday life to explain what he meant. So he gives them a graphic description. And I'm not going to say any more than that. And understand what he says in verse 20. What comes out of a person is what defiles him. So the Lord Jesus, he explains it like this. "Men, is it not true whatever you choose to eat goes into your stomach? And is it not true that it passes through your body? And your body keeps what it needs. It keeps the nutrients. And then it expels the waste it doesn't need." All of us understand where it's going, right? In the front door, out the back. We don't need to explain that. So it is true that we might get sick from what we eat, but it cannot cause spiritual uncleanness. That's his point. What goes in my body, I mean, what goes in your body does not affect the heart. Or maybe better put, doesn't have an effect on your soul. Each of us are made up of a mind, will, attitude, and emotions. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 1 through 5 reminds us of this truth. What we see when you look to your right and to the left, when you look at me right now, what you see is temporary. Or as Paul defines it, it's an earthly tent. Ecclesiastes 12, 1 through 8 even takes it a little bit farther. It reminds us of this truth, that outwardly, every day our bodies are dying. Does anybody want to say an amen to that? Okay? Right? Some of us, okay? All right. So please look with me for a moment at the words in parentheses. Verse 19. "Thus he declared all foods clean." And to all the Jews, to all the people, to the disciples, this is crazy talk. That's crazy talk. Okay? Because in the Torah, what's the Torah? The first five books of the Bible. The Lord gives very specific laws about what can be eaten and what cannot be eaten. And it's absolutely true that under the law, many foods were declared unclean by God. That's 100% true. But again, Israel missed the purpose of seeing God's character. They missed the fact that what God was pointing out to them is that they were unclean and guilty before Him. They were unclean and guilty before a holy God. In actuality, what was meant to draw them near to God, what was meant to be worship, actually distanced them from God. Why? Here's why. Because all the attention was focused on the external act instead of the heart behind God's command. And brothers and sisters, I don't know about you, But that hits home. That hits home. Focused on the external act, but not on the heart. That hits home. So Jesus again declared to Peter in Acts chapter 10, verses 13 through 15, all animals clean. And Peter still wrestles with this, even under the new covenant. Let's read it together. Here's what he says. And there came a voice to him, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." The Lord had given him a vision. But Peter said, "By no means, Lord, for I have never eaten anything common or unclean." And the voice came to him again a second time. "What God has made clean, do not call common." This week in your time in your scripture, I also encourage you to read Acts chapter 10 for context, to get a better understanding of what God was saying to Peter. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 4 also addresses this. And here's what it says. "For everything created by God is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it is received with thanksgiving, for it is made holy by the word of God and prayer." So again, church family, back to our point of emphasis. We're saying it two ways. I don't sin because of what's outside of me. I sin because of what's inside of me. I sin because of what's within. Let's look at verse 20. And he said, "What comes out of a person is what defiles him." In reading this today, have you noticed a pattern? Have you noticed that Jesus has now said this phrase three times? What comes out of a person is what defiles him. Look at verse 15. He said it there. Look at verse 18. He said it there. And look what we just read in verse 20. He said it again. So here's the question. Are you and I hearing and receiving Jesus' words this morning? I believe he says it three times, not just for the disciples, but he says it three times because it's hard for us to understand as well. Most, if not all, hold to this belief that we, for the most part, are intrinsically good. The majority of us would say that in our heart of hearts, "I know I'm not perfect." And then perhaps we would compare ourselves to someone else, someone who we think in our minds are worse than us. And if we're honest, for the most part, this is what society believes. This is what mankind believes. You have a conversation that gets this deep, you'll get to this point. Most of mankind also believes that we should follow our heart and live based on how we feel. We should follow our heart and we should live based on how we feel. Because again, in essence, the belief is that mankind is good. And when this mindset is there, it's the same mindset we see with the Jewish nation, with the Jewish leaders. And there's no doubt about it, this mindset has infiltrated the church. This mindset is throughout the world system. So we know what mankind thinks. We know how they diagnose, how we diagnose who we are. But more importantly, what are the thoughts of God? When it comes to following our hearts and living how we feel, what does the God of heaven say? Well, there's many places we can go, but I'm going to take you to two scriptures probably that you've heard. Jeremiah 17, 9 through 10. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately sick. Who can understand it? And we normally stop there, but listen to verse 10. I, the Lord, search the heart and test the mind to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruits of his deeds. It's pretty clear. And then what about Proverbs 16:25, another one that we probably heard and know? There is a way that seems right to a man, but in the end, it ends in the way of death. So that's the assessment of what my flesh thinks. That's the assessment of what I believe that I'm intrinsically good. So according to God, our perspective that we're inherently good is dead wrong. Romans 3 is another place to look. Do you want to look at that? Jesus makes it crystal clear to all of us. We are all on the same playing field. Let's read further what he says in verses 21 to 23. For from within, out of the heart of man, come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, coveting, wickedness, deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, foolishness. All these things come from within, and they defile a person. So let's carefully take in the words of our Lord Jesus. He just said that every one of us have the same problem. And that problem is that sin lives in us. I sin because sin lives in me. I sin because of what's within. My sin starts in my own heart. Notice that Jesus has repeatedly used the word defiled. He uses the word defiled when he describes my heart and your heart. But just so we're clear, let's look at some different words for defiled. If we get out of thesaurus, we'll find the word corrupted. We'll find the word depraved. We'll find the word polluted. We'll find the word spoiled. We'll find the word unclean. We'll find the word filthy. That's not a pretty picture, is it? Some of you remember that on Christmas Eve, we had a joint service with our brothers and sisters at Crestwood. And I'm still surprised that I did this on Christmas Eve, but I did. I guess that's neither here nor there. But I started, like, my sermon illustration by talking about coming home from college, and having the privilege to clean out a septic tank. That sounds Christmassy, doesn't it? You guys remember that? Okay. So I was home from college, and the septic tank was backed up. It was in bad shape. Okay? And hindsight is always 20/20. But if I would have known what was coming, I would have stayed in Terre Haute. I promise you. Okay? But I didn't. And my parents were smart. They were smart not to tell me that. Okay? So, lots of fun awaited me. All right? And I'll never forget when we lifted the lid on that tank. It was gagging. Okay? Because we saw all this nasty, horrible sewage. All right? Little did I know that one day God was going to use that experience for a sermon illustration. But that's exactly what he did. So number one, the nastiness and filth I saw provided me with this. A picture of my heart. But this sermon illustration does not stop with one example. Oh no, it's the sermon illustration that keeps on giving. It gives us two. And here's the second part, okay? Because not only did we get to see the sewage, we got to experience it, okay? So as I mentioned last year, Christmas Eve, we rented a snake to unclog it. Everybody know what a snake is? A lot of fun, okay? So, as we pushed that snake through the fingers of that system, sewage started flying everywhere. Everywhere. And all three of us, my neighbor, my dad, and I, were covered from head to toe, and you guessed it. All right? Nastiest thing I've ever done. No question. Okay? But see, this illustration, this example from life reveals to me what happens when sin is stirred up in my heart. Okay? Because when this happens, there is every capability of practicing any of these sins that Jesus candidly mentions that come from my heart. That's the truth. So what begins in my heart can come out in my attitudes and my actions. And this is what he was saying. See, James 1, 13, 15 explains what happens very well. Here's what it says. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am being tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, and he himself tempts no one. But listen to what happens. Verse 14. But each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desire. Then desire, when it has conceived, gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is fully grown, brings forth death. I don't sin because of what is outside of me. I sin because of what is inside of me. That's the sobering truth. I sin because of what's within. So we've looked at Jesus' words. We've clearly seen what he's saying today. But where's blue letter for you and I? Where's blue letter for my heart and for your heart? And when we say blue letter, how do I apply what Jesus has taught me in his word today? But also say this. Where is blue letter for the unbeliever? Where is blue letter for the unbeliever based on Jesus' words? Where would Jesus ask them to apply it? And third, I would say this. Where is blue letter for those God has in my circles to witness to? Where is blue letter there? Where is the application there? What is God calling me to do? So I prayed, again, that all of us would have ears to hear Jesus' words this morning. Because just like they were difficult for the Pharisees, and just like they were difficult for the crowds, and just like they were difficult for the disciples, they're also hard for us. They're hard for us. Because here is the truth. Here's what God wants you and I to know. When each of us sin, we are responsible. When we sin, we are responsible. Which means this, we are not victims. We are not victims. Contrary to what the world teaches us, we are not victims. The root of my sin, the root of my sin is not based on anything on the outside of me. It's not because of how my parents treated me growing up. It's not based on what someone did or didn't do in my life. It's not based on the company I surround myself with. It's not based on the environment or anything else. You name it, whatever you want to name under the sun. I sin for one reason. Because it's what's in my heart. See, we might say these words, and I think we do say these words. I say these words. We might say, this person made me angry. But the truth is this. You see, anger in my heart was already there. The anger was already there. And the situation and circumstance gave the opportunity for the anger to show itself. See, my environment and what happens around me. This is what Jesus is saying. My environment and what happens around me, my circumstances, whatever they are, what happens is sin in my heart shows itself in the circumstance. It shows what's already there. The proof is in the pudding. And this is true of every sin. This is not easy. But this is what Jesus says. So in our world, when we see on the news, when we learn about a mass shooting, we learn about some horrific event that's taken place, and we watch it in some form of media, or we read it in some form of media. Do you notice that the world is searching for the answer? For the answer to the question, why, outside of man? They're searching outside of man. That there is some external factor that we're missing. Politicians tell us they know the cause, right? Others say we need some sort of change that's on the outside, on the external. Some say the answer might be found in better education. Or we need to have more self-awareness. Or more religious practice. But that's not what Jesus says, is it? That's not what Jesus says. See, if we listen to Jesus, he tells us that the root of sin is found in each man's depraved, wicked, evil heart. That's what he says. These are hard words, but that's what he says. And sadly, many times in my flesh, all of us, the world, takes on the mindset of the Pharisees. Because we take in the lie that for the most part we are good, where Scripture clearly says that is not the case. And when we think this way, when this is our thought process, we deal with the symptoms, but we don't deal with the cause. Think about this in your own life. We deal with the symptoms, but we don't deal with the cause. So what do? When we deal with the symptoms, we look to change our behavior. The flesh attempts to do good things. And we may look the part externally. Right? Look like we have it together. And if we look around us, this is what society is teaching. We have to be so careful not to teach our children and grandchildren this message. have to be so careful to go after their heart. It's their heart we have to go after. Here's why you sin. It's in your heart. But we can teach them to be focused on the outward action. And that becomes nothing more than a masquerade and a facade. That's what the Lord asks us to do. Focus on the heart. We said earlier that it's infiltrated the church. And it has. Because even in the church, many times we refuse to look at our hearts. The scripture's going to cut. Because you are taking in the one who is holy and righteous and worthy of all praise. And you who are not are laid bare before him. That's what the scriptures do. But when this happens, we treat the symptoms in the church. There's more religious activity. There's more serving. Maybe more giving. Trying to do more good. And the lie is, I have to keep away from the bad stuff and the bad people. I've got to clean up the outside. I've got to clean up my behavior. I want to give you an example of what this looks like. We have a wooden fence in our backyard, and man, that thing is shot. Okay? This fence is leaning several places. Our dog Jackson, we call him Houdini because he always finds a hole to get out of it. Okay? So we're always out there patching it up. All right? It has holes everywhere. It's falling apart. I imagine this winter it'll be the last of it, but I've said that for years. Okay? So it's hanging on. But as it, we did something that I think illustrates what we do when we deal with the symptoms. We had a friend of ours about 9 years ago paint it when it was in horrible shape. And at first it looked great. Right? Because it's painted. Isn't that beautiful? It's painted. But what happened? It didn't take long for the paint to wear off. Okay? And the fence showed itself for its true condition very quickly. So when we tried to paint it, we tried to fix it, we tried to fix the symptoms, we ignored the only solution. And we're still ignoring the only solution because we don't want to pay for it. We don't want to count the cost. Okay? But here's the only solution. The only solution is I need to tear it down and get a new one. That's the only solution. That's it. Okay? And the same is true for all of us. See, we have to get a new heart. We have to be changed from the inside out. We don't keep trying to do good. We don't keep trying to change our behavior. We need a new heart. That's the issue. That's the issue. And the blueprint for God getting glory in our lives is changing us from the inside out. He says, I love you, daughter. I love you, son. Stop painting the fence. It's not going to work. It's not gonna work, right? So what about unbelievers? Where's Blue Letter? If you are in here today and you've had someone tell you that what it means to be a Christian is to clean up your life, please forgive us for that. Forgive us for giving that message because it's not true. It's not true one bit. If you have not trusted in Christ as your Lord and Savior, I want you to know today that He loves you deeply. And He does. But I also want you to know that when we listen to Jesus' words today, they may be offensive. And they're supposed to be offensive. They have to be offensive because we are fully responsible for our sin. every bit. Okay? It's not because of anything outside of me. It's what's inside of me. I sin because of what's within. Every one of us is broken. But see, Jesus is so good that he didn't just tell you that you had a problem. He didn't just tell you that your heart was depraved and wicked and evil. No, there's good news. And see, the good news is this. If your heart is softened and you'll receive his words, that sin comes from within you and it doesn't come from your environment, it doesn't come from the outside, then the truth can set you free. You can have freedom. And here's how. Because not only did he reveal your hopeless condition, but he came to rescue you. You see, Jesus came to this earth. He came and dwelt among his people. And Jesus went to the cross of Calvary. And he bore my sin. And he bore your sin. He shed his blood and became the perfect sacrifice. He took my wrath that I deserved. He took your wrath that you deserve. He took the punishment that you deserved. He took the punishment that I deserved. And if you will trust in him alone this morning, you will be saved. You will be saved. But in order for the gospel to be good news, and brothers and sisters, do not miss this. I miss this all the time. See, in order for the gospel to be good news, we have to understand the depravity of our hearts. We have to understand what Jesus says in Mark chapter 7, verse 14 to 23. We have to understand the words of Romans chapter 3. We have to understand the words of 1 Corinthians. We have to understand all of it. The gospel only becomes glorious when we see our wretchedness. That's the only time. The only time it becomes glorious is when God opens eyes to see our wretchedness. Okay? So church family, here's what we have to understand. If we're going to share our faith, we can't just say Jesus loves you. See, people have to know what God says about them. And he says that they're responsible for their sin. And that their sin, they sin because it's in their heart. And that's hard to say. But we're called to say it. We're called to say it. So here's the good news that Ezekiel 36, 25 through 27 speaks to us. Here's what he says. I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean from all your uncleanness, and from all your idols I will cleanse you, and I will give you a new heart and a new spirit I will put within you, and I will remove the heart of the stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes and be careful to obey my rules. And church family, we're not off the hook either. Okay? And here's what I want to say to you today. See, the truth is, often you and I miss the glory of the gospel as well. And here's how. Romans tells us that Romans speaks to us about the gloriousness, about the wonder, about what the gospel is. I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for those who believe. But what part of the gospel do we often miss? Because it's true that if you're in Christ Jesus, you've been made new, and rejoice in that. Praise him for that. Thank him for that truth. But the truth is that you and I still have a potential to allow sin to eat our lunch. See, we can't focus just on the outward. The only remedy is giving Jesus the green light to be Lord. give Jesus the green light to be Lord. And what's that mean? See, Jesus just didn't come to save you for heaven. Jesus came to save you so he could live in you. See, we've got to abide in him. We've got to draw near to him. We've got to be in constant communication with him. We've got to live our lives in dependency upon him. And when we don't, we're missing part of the gospel, and the gospel becomes less glorious. Victory over our sinful hearts, victory over the flesh, is only found in dependence upon the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what you and I often forget. Amen. Let's pray. Father, that is a lot to take in. Your word is alive, and we thank you for that. Lord, here's what I want to pray first. I want to pray, God, that if there's anyone in here that has not seen that their sin comes from inside of them, Lord, I pray that if there's anyone in this room that does not know you, Lord, that right now they confess that they believe that to be true. I encourage you, if that's anyone in this room, confess to the Lord. I believe your words when you tell me that sin comes from the inside of me, that I'm responsible. God, I pray this. I pray, Lord, that they would receive the gift of your rescue. They would trust in God, your finished work on the cross of Calvary. They would trust in, Lord, that the grave could not hold you. They've been raised, and they can be raised from the dead just as you raised from the dead. Lord, they could have a new life. And Father, here's what I pray for all my brothers and sisters in here. I ask you, God, that you continue to show them the power of the gospel. That we not stop, Lord, with understanding, God, that we're forgiven. With understanding, God, we've been clothed in your righteousness. With understanding, Lord, that we've been reconciled to you. We've been declared not guilty. God, here's what I pray. I pray, Lord, that we would see clearly that freedom, joy, and your glory comes from us living in dependence upon you. Not only did you die for us, not only did we die with you, but you came to live in us. God, I pray that we grab a hold of that. We thank you for your word. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, do me a favor, please. Open up your Bible to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 through 11. I want to close with this. 1 Corinthians 6, verses 9 through 11. Here's what it says. Or do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who practice homosexuality, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. Listen to this part now. And such were some of you, but you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. I want to dismiss you today by reminding you, this is your identity in Christ Jesus. Remember how much He loves you. You're dismissed.
Thank you for listening to audio from Foundation Life Bible Church, located in Greenwood, Indiana. Feel free to make copies of this message to give to others, but please do not charge for those copies or alter the content in any way without permission. For more information about Foundation Life Bible Church, please visit us online at www.foundationlbc.com.